We will be in the book of Jeremiah this morning, Jeremiah 29, and also Psalm 139. Jeremiah 29, we'll be looking specifically at verses 10 through 13, and then in various verses of Psalm 139. I've titled this topical teaching this morning, What Does God Think of You? What does God think of you? Scientists that study population numbers tell us that there are over 7 billion, that's B, billion people upon the face of the earth. When I think about that number, it's almost beyond my comprehension. I have a hard time wrapping my arms around 7 billion people on the face of the earth. But if you think about it this way, 7 billion seconds ago, 7 billion seconds ago, the year was 1789. If you took 7 billion steps at 2 feet each, you could go around the world at the equator of about 106 times. 7 billion steps at 2 feet. And as we think about that large number, maybe we feel a little bit insignificant. We're an insignificant person to God. How can he have time for everyone? How does he know everything about us? Maybe you just believe that Jesus is just way too busy looking over the universe, maintaining the world, to be too concerned about you and about me. Yet I want to show you this morning from the Word that God knows everything there is to know about you and me and the 7 billion plus people on the face of the earth today. Follow along as I read Jeremiah 29, 10 through 13. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You see, the truth is, the verses that we've just read today teaches us that he does know about us. That word that we just read was spoken to the people of Israel concerning their captivity in Babylon at the time. But it also, there was a promise of a safe return to their homeland. You see, there's an application for our church and for us here today from these verses that we just read. Look again at Jeremiah 29, 11. And it says, for I know the thoughts. And if you have your own Bible today and you're circling, you might want to circle the word thoughts and just write in their plan or purpose. For I know the plan or the purpose that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, and you might want to circle that word peace and write over to one side completeness. For I know the thoughts of completeness and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I want to ask you that question again. What does the Lord think about you? Maybe you feel that God doesn't think about you at all. But this morning I want to give you confidence and assurance that Jesus does. As we look at the Word this morning, I want you to know exactly what he thinks about each one of us. My prayer this morning, as I've studied this passage, and as I've readied to teach it, is that you will be encouraged to know that God has his eye on your life, that he has his eye on my life, and that he is concerned about us. I want to ask you 3 important questions this morning as we go through these verses. Question number 1, how well does God really know you? How well does God really know you? God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you in verse number 11 of Jeremiah 29. God was writing again to the people of Israel. Where were they? They were in captivity in Babylon. God is reminding them, in spite of all the pain and the suffering that they are going through at that present time, they are in his mind. He's working out his perfect plan for them in their lives. When he's finished, he's going to change them. when Israel went to Babylon as prisoners, well, why was it? Well, they were guilty of the sin of idolatry. And you see, when they came out, they never resorted to that sin of idolatry again. God used that time when they thought they were forgotten. They thought that God had forgotten and forsaken them. God used that time to make them stronger and better for his glory. I want you to remember this, that God's knowledge of us is individual. God's knowledge of us is individual. That's a reminder of all the people in the world. God has his mind on you and you and you and me today, this morning, this time, right now. He sees us not as just another person of that 7 billion people population, but he sees us as that individual. He sees and knows those specific thoughts about each one of us. He cares about you. He cares about me. You and me are an individual on his mind. Now that's a wow moment to me when I think about that God has me on his mind right now. I stand back and I say, wow, that's amazing that God's thinking about us right now. He thinks about us as an individual. People wonder what God knows about them. The fact is that God knows everything there is to know about you and about me. The Bible's clear when it talks about the scope of God's knowledge of our lives. And you see, if we let those following thoughts just kind of sink into our minds this morning, well, maybe we find it a little bit overwhelming. But you see, in truth, the knowledge of God about us should be a very comforting thing. God's knowledge of us is individual. But God's knowledge of us is also intimate. God's knowledge about us is intimate. Matthew 10, 29 through 31, and we studied this just a few weeks ago with Pastor Ken. It says, what is the price of two sparrows, one copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. When you walk out this morning and you walk out to your car and you look up and you see that little bird flying in the air and you realize that lies, if that bird falls to the ground, God knows about it. That he has the number of hairs on your head numbered. Mine go down every day. But that's okay. He knows all about us. Matthew 10, 29 tells us of the value that God places on his creation, but because even the little sparrow that falls to the ground doesn't escape the attention of Almighty God. You see, the reality of that statement is that the Father is so concerned about our lives that he numbers the hairs of our head. He's so concerned about everything. And if he's concerned about the little insignificant things, then we can have the assurance to know that he will take the care to watch over us when those weighty issues, those tough times, come along. The Lord knows our deepest, our darkest secrets. He knows our thoughts, our motives, our plans, and our dreams. God's knowledge of us is intimate. But you see, God's knowledge of us is also infinite. His knowledge of us is also infinite. I ask you to turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, the first four verses read this way. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. That word search is an interesting word. If you just circle that right over to one side, examine thoroughly. O Lord, you have examined me thoroughly and you know me. You know my sitting down and my raising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path. That word path, my way, my passing of life, my way of living, and my lying down. And you are acquainted with all my ways. That word ways, circle it and right over to one side, journey, or the road. You are acquainted with my journey and my road. God knows that road, that journey that we're on. for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You see, in that psalm, David tells us that the Lord is everywhere. He's seeing and knowing everything. You see, even before we came into this world, God was looking upon us and had already determined how we would turn out. Do you think about that? Before we were born, God knew how we would turn out. Psalm 139:16 says, "Your eyes saw my substance being yet uniformed. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." God knew. He knows all about you. He knows your journey and the road that you're on right now. He knows the most intimate details of our life. God misses nothing that we do. Please remember that. He misses nothing that we do. He sees it all, and regardless of where we go, God is still watching over our lives. I want you to think about Jonah just for a second. What did Jonah do? Well, he tried to flee from the presence of God. He tried to run. And what happened? He ran right into God. He's everywhere. God is everywhere. He sees and knows it all. You see, we do things in private, not in front of other people, but we do those things before God. God's knowledge of us is also instant. His knowledge of us is also instant. Psalm 139, verse 4, it says, "You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord." Proverbs 21:2, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs or examines or tests the hearts." When he knows that that sparrow is going to fall to the ground, as we read in Matthew, then you can be sure that he can know everything that's going to happen in your life on a moment-by-moment-by-moment basis. God's eye is constantly upon our life. Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Keep watching, keeping watch on the evil and the good." You see, that's an encouragement to each one of us, to know that nothing happens in my life, nothing can happen in your life that will catch Jesus off guard. He knows what it's going to be before it happens. He's not sitting up there in heaven looking, "Wow, I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't think that was going to happen. I'm surprised that happened." God knows everything. Keeping watch on evil and the good. Isaiah 46:10 says this, "Only I can tell you the future before it happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish." That reminds me of the example that Pastor Ken gives a lot of times of the parade. The parade passes in front of us. We see just that little piece of it, but God sees the whole thing from the beginning until the end. Romans 8:28, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose." God's knowledge of us is instant. You see, I think when we think about that, when we think about what we've been talking about this morning, maybe it's hard for us to grasp. It's hard for us to get our arms around that. It's hard to understand. But you see, I think the psalmist David in Psalm 139:6 says it really best. He says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand." And I appreciate that verse because as we look at this, as you stop to think, how in the world can the Lord know when that sparrow falls? How can he know how many hairs are on my head? How can he know everything that he knows? It's hard to understand, but we can look at that. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand." It's okay. But we accept it because we know the promises in the Word are true. You see, if you're trying to hide something from the Lord this morning, then that infinite knowledge, well, that's a terrible thing. Because you're not going to get away with anything. But if you're striving to serve the Lord, His omniscience, His infinite knowledge of us is a blessing. It's a blessing. How well does God really know you? Question number one. Question number two, what is revealed by God's knowledge of you? Question number two, what is revealed by God's knowledge of you? Since we can plainly see from the scriptures that we've looked at this morning that the Lord knows every single detail of our lives, what does that knowledge really reveal to Jesus? Well, God knows about your sins. He knows about my sins. God knew about all of Israel's sins. There was nothing in their hearts, nothing in our hearts or our lives that He didn't know or that He doesn't know. And people can be rather foolish, rather silly when it comes to their sins. Some people act as if God can't see or isn't aware of what they're doing. But you see, since that very first sin was committed in the Garden of Eden, God has witnessed every single one. He's no less aware today than He was then. We serve the same God. Psalm 90, verse 8 says, "You spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all." You see, with that in mind, it's easy to see the silliness, the frugality of trying to hide one's sins from the Lord. Because listen to what Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." On Wednesday night, we looked at spiritual contentment. And we studied Psalm 32, which was David's response to Psalm 51 after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And in Psalm 32, it talks about David's groaning in his misery of trying to cover up the sin. "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." 1 John chapter 1, 8 through 10 says, "If we say that we have no sins, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." You see, God knows all about our sins. God also knows all about our situations. God knew everything there was to know about the sufferings of Israel in the hands of the Babylonians. He knew about the wickedness. He knew about the cruelty. He knew everything. Nothing was hidden from God during that time. He knows all that's happening in your life this morning. Nothing that ever comes your way, nothing that ever comes my way, has ever taken God by surprise. In fact, He has allowed it to happen for His own purposes and for His own good. When we decided not to move across the street, that was a difficult time because we were all excited about that. We thought God had opened up that door and said, "This is where I want you to go to do ministry." We had put plans in place to do things. But you see, God closed the door and slammed it shut. And we had to stand back and say, "God, You know best. You know what's down the road for us." God knows everything there is to know. He knows about those situations. Romans 8:28 again. "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose." So when those sufferings and those burdens of life are greater than we feel like we can bear, we have some pretty wonderful promises that we can think about. Here's just a few. First of all, we know that He knows all about it. God knows about it, so it must be a part of His plan for my life. And if that's true, then I can accept the difficult time that I'm going through and trust Him to bring me safely through. When I left corporate America to go into business for myself, it was a disaster. We prayed about it. We tightened the belt. We did a lot of things. But God was with us, and he didn't leave us, and he got us through. And he used that difficult time as a stepping stone to bring us where we are today. He may be using that difficult time in your life this morning as that stepping stone. He knows all about it. He also promised that he's in the middle of it. He's in the midst of that problem with us. You know, there's times when we go through those difficult times when we just can't see God. The view of God is blocked from us. But we know he's there nonetheless. He's protecting, he's providing, and he's watching out for us. Hebrews 13:5, one of my favorite verses. It says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said," and I love this part, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He cares about us. He cares about all the things that we're doing in our lives. He's right there with us. He cares about what we're facing. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Give all your worries and your cares to God, for he cares about you." He cares about what we're facing. He's also promised grace to us to bring us through those difficult times. When that load seems heavier than it is that we can bear up under, the Lord has promised to meet that need and to give us the grace sufficient for that trial that we're going through, that burden that we're going through right at that time. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "And he has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" You see, he's also promised us rest in the midst of the trials that we're going through. You see, even in that middle of the trial, God has promised to rest his children if they'll come to him and lay their burdens down to him. That's an important promise that we have. That as we go through those difficult times in life, as Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's a beautiful promise that we have. And I know that's difficult because we go through times in our life where we're going through hard, difficult times. Maybe a sickness. Maybe a loss of a job. Maybe financial issues. Whatever it might be. We know that if we bring those burdens to Jesus Christ, he will give us rest. When those storms darken the way, when those burdens are just too tough to carry, when there are sorrows and troubles, just please don't be deceived into thinking that the Lord doesn't see and doesn't care, because he knows everything that we're going through, and he will be there with us. If you think back in the Word just for a moment of some of the lessons that were taught in the Word of God, how the Bible declares that God was faithful on behalf of his people. Think about when he parted the Red Sea in Exodus 14, how he was there. Think about how he protected the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3. He was right there. Think about how he protected Daniel in Daniel 6 in the lion's den. He was right there. When he fed and watered the Israelites for 40 years, he fed them manna, gave them water from a rock. He was right there. When he fed the 5,000 in John 6, he was right there. When he came to the disciples in the midst of a storm in John 6, he sent that storm to them. He ordered it. But he came there, he walked out. Remember the other storm when Jesus was in the back of the boat? It's one of my favorite stories. He was in the back of the boat, and the disciples were in the front of the boat, and that tremendous storm came up. And the disciples were afraid. Seasoned fishermen, used to being on the water in a violent storm, were worried. Jesus was right there in the back of the boat. He didn't get out. He didn't leave. He stayed with them in the storm. He knows about us in infinite detail. And he'll take care of you and us. He'll take care of you and me. Question number one, how well does God really know you? Question number two, what is revealed by God's knowledge of you? Well, only you can answer that question between you and Jesus this morning. Question number three, how does God react to his knowledge of you? How does God react to the knowledge of you? Since Jesus has this infinite, detailed, personal knowledge of each one of us, well, what does he do with it? How does God's knowledge of your life and mind cause him to respond to you and me? Well, there's a couple different ways. How has God reacted to us in the past? Well, as we've read in the Word, God moved in Israel's past by choosing them over all the nations of the earth. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 7. He moved by delivering them from the Egyptian bondage. We see that in Exodus 12 through 15. He moved by bringing them through that wilderness and into the promised lands after 40 years of wandering. We see that in Joshua 1. He had plans for that nation. Not plans of evil, but plans of peace. Plans that were designed to bring them to an expected end. You see, God has moved like that in the lives of each one of us. God took steps in the past to meet the deepest need that we would ever have. And what is that need? What was that need to be saved? That was the need to be saved, you see, before God ever made the world. He knew that he would make man in his image and that man would sin against him. And so even before there was a man to save, God already had provided a means of salvation. That plan is the same plan back then as that plan that we have today. 1 Peter 1:18 through 19. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. The plan was fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, paid our sin debt, 3 days later arose from the dead, ascended back to his Father, that mediator between God and man, to provide that beautiful picture that Jesus is sitting next to God this morning praying for each one of us. Please don't forget that picture, because that's such a beautiful picture. Jesus is sitting in heaven this morning praying for you and you and you and you and me. Praying for us this morning. How does God react toward us now in the present? Well, in Jeremiah 29, we can look at, from Israel's perspective, it looked as if God had abandoned them. Well, they were in captivity. They were suffering this cruel treatment. They were in the hands of their enemies. It seemed like their prayers were accomplishing nothing, that the prayers were hitting the roof, they weren't going anywhere, and that there was no hope for the future. You see, that's how things appeared to them at that time. So isn't that how life appears for us sometimes? As we go through life, Jesus stands ready to help us along that way. As we face those burdens, those trials of life, we know that we don't have to face that heavy burden under that worry or fear. God would have you and me trust in him, to look to him during those difficult times of our life. His promises are as good today as they've ever been. Please remember that. If you don't remember anything else from today's message, please remember that his promises are as good today as they ever have been. The promises in the Word, some 7,000 promises in the Word. They're as good today as they were then. He is there to supply your need. Jesus is in your boat this morning with you. As you go through those difficult times, those burdens that you're carrying this morning, he is in the boat with you this morning. He has not left. He is there to be with you. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He'll supply all our need. May not supply all our wants, but he'll supply all our need. He'll give us that daily bread. I love that phrase in the Lord's Prayer, provides our daily bread. Doesn't seem like we're going to be rich. He may make us rich. He may make us wealthy. But he says he'll supply our daily bread. He'll supply all your need. So maybe the question comes up at this time, why doesn't God do something about this battle that I'm fighting? I prayed about it. I'm trusting him, but nothing ever changes. God will move, but not when you think he will. It'll be in his time. God's timeline is not our timeline. I think that's what was so important about not moving across the street. Oh, we probably could have negotiated our way over there, but Pastor Ken said no. That's not what God wants. We're not going to kick the door open when God closes that door. So if there seems to be that lack of response from Jesus on your prayers, I want to ask you this question. Is everything in your life in order? Is there rebellion against something that the Lord would want you to do? Be sure that everything is squared away in your heart and your life. Are you in the will of God? Are you walking in the will of God? Are you asking for him to show you his will for you? I've often shared that as I came to be a part of the worship team, and Pastor Ken said, no, I think you've got another calling. I didn't give in to the will right away. You see, music has been my life. Teaching, not so much. But Pastor Ken said, there's something that the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to step out and do something different. And for many, many weeks, I said no. And if I had continued to say no, I would have missed so many blessings that have happened to me, that the Lord has blessed. Are you in the will of God this morning? Are you asking him to show you his will for your life? How does God react toward us in his promises? As we said, the Israelites probably thought that God had forgotten about them. Jeremiah 29 was sent to them to remind them that God had not forgotten, that the Lord thinks good thoughts about his people. His desire is to give them that expected end. The idea here is that the Lord knew where they were, and he knew exactly where he was taking them. You see, that's the same with us this morning. There's not a single promise of the Lord that will ever, ever fail. Please remember that. His promises are as true today as they were back then, and they will never fail. He'll keep every promise he's ever made. He'll bring us through those peaks, those valleys, those difficult times. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. What is our duty? Our duty is to walk with him. Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be transformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you walking in the will of God this morning? You see, everything that God allows in our life and in my life is in an effort to mold us into his image. You see, he is the potter, and we are the clay. Think about that. What does a potter do to the clay? Well, he stretches it. He pounds on it. He beats on it. He molds it. That's what Jesus wants to do to your life today. Yes, that stretching and that pounding and that beating, that hurts sometimes. We're going to go through those difficult times, I know. My wife and I went through some really difficult times before our daughter was born. My wife had several miscarriages, and we lost a little boy at 7 months. But after that, the Lord gave us a beautiful daughter. I don't know why God put us through that, but he did. He stretched us and he molded us as a family. Is he stretching and molding you this morning? What does God think about you? I want to assure you this morning, if you're a believer of his, that he thinks about you and does so with love. He thinks about you, he thinks about the great plans that he has for your life. And no matter where you are in the world today, no matter what you're facing or what you're going through, there is help and there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ today. You might be walking through some of the deepest, the darkest, the longest valleys of your life and really wondering, does God care? Does he even know? I want to assure you this morning that he not only knows, but he cares about you this morning. He loves you so much if you'll just seek him out this morning. Whatever difficult thing you're going through, whatever difficult time you're going through this morning, bring it to him. If there's something in your life that you need to bring to him this morning as unconfessed sin, bring it to him. If you haven't asked God what his will for your life is, go before him today. He'll show you. He'll show you. Oh, he may stretch you, he may mold you, he may pound on you a little bit, but you know what? You'll be in the will of God. I trust that you'll take these words with you this week. That as we go through those difficult times, that you will remember that God loves you. He knows everything there is to know about you. He cares about you. And that he will never, ever leave you.